Peter, I got to tell you something. I don't want you to like be offended or whatever. Not that you necessarily would, but it's kind of weird. And I think the last show probably didn't really help this. But for some reason, Ben thought that you were, quote, one of my gay friends on Facebook.
You tell me this after I give a list of guys I've fucked.
Well, that's why we had to give it to you after. We couldn't.
Jesus.
I actually didn't think about it until just now anyway, probably because I was thinking about you banging a bunch of guys.
So what do I gotta do? Like post some, I don't know.
I love the air quotes that our listeners could see that quote.
One of my gay friends.
Friends.
I don't know how to fix this. I mean, I told him that I think he just got your name confused with like some of my other gay friends in Florida.
Like Howard Moody?
Yeah.
Homo? He somehow confused Homo with Peter.
Actually, I think he confused him with Justin, who was like in a totally different part of America's dick. So, I don't know. Maybe he just thinks that everybody in Florida is gay.
Justin's called the show before.
Yeah.
Justin's a big friend of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
I got to start talking like a bro dude and like...
No.
Yo, bro.
That's totally not working. No.
I think our listeners know Peter's not gay. So, I think it just means Ben doesn't listen to the show.
That's a fact.
Thanks again, Ben.
Welcome back to Mouthy Broadcast, everybody. I'm Jenny.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Peter.
Not gay.
Not gay. No homo.
No homo. You know, I got to start the show out this time kind of shamelessly plugging the website because I've been working on it and changing everything on it. Have you guys looked at it yet?
Yes. I did.
It looks beautiful. Great
Thank
job, Jenny.
I just want all the listeners to go and look at it and, you know, tell me what you think about it because, like, yeah, I totally redesigned everything and new logo and all that stuff. And by the time this show comes out, it should be, like, actually done, not just sort of close enough like it is right now. So we're going to have, like, going to try to put, like, more stuff for sale. Like, we have the bumper stickers that people can buy and, I don't know, maybe some other shit. Like, we have our Amazon store, so maybe we can put, like, the Squatty Potty up there so we get, like, you know, credit for selling those since we already do that anyway. So, anyways, how do we get started talking about our shows?
Let's start with You're the Worst. I had seen people talking about it on Twitter, and there's a guy on Twitter who goes by the name of Film Crit Hulk. And
oh, I love him.
His shtick is, you know, he types like, you know, the Hulk would speak, like, you know, Hulk did not like, you know, blah, blah, blah movie or whatever.
Yeah.
He's actually, like, really insightful and like, knows a lot about storytelling and, like, when he reviews a movie, like, he brings up shit like I never would have even thought of. So,
but does it without the use of personal pronouns.
Exactly. So the one that got me was when he wrote about Lost and how horrible the ending of Lost was. And I was like, I love this guy. He put my thoughts into words as if Hulk was saying them.
I didn't like the ending of Lost, but I couldn't really put my finger on why. And then he did a whole piece about it, and I was like, that's it. That's fucking it.
Mm-hmm.
But so when he recommends something, I'm like, okay, well, if he's recommending this, I'll give it a shot. And Hulk said, Hulk's so glad that Hulk watched season one of You're the Worst on Hulu because it's not the worst, it's the best. And I was like, all right, well, if Hulk's watching it, I'll check it out. So I watched season one on Hulu and it's good. It's a pretty realistic look at what it's like to get in a relationship these days with two very flawed people.
Yeah.
But it's comedy. It's fun. There's a lot of funny moments. It's the characters are funny.
Actually, it's funny that when you said that whenever he recommends things, you listen and you actually follow up on it. You're kind of that person for me. Like, you've gotten to the point where whenever you say, like, you need to watch this, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go to that, because you've been right, like, every single time I followed your recommendation.
Thank you.
And in fact, like, I think at some point you posted something about one of the shows and or about one of the episodes of You're the Worst. And I was like, I don't know if I need to watch this show because it sounds so much like my actual life that I don't, you know, why do I need to watch a TV show about it? But I was really glad that I did. It basically is, it's like watching normal people. They write the characters so freaking well that it's almost painful to watch other shows sometimes because they're just, you know, they're so realistic. They don't like sing to any kind of stereotypes. And when they do, it's kind of fun and it doesn't bother me, if that makes any sense.
And everybody knows a person who shares similar characteristics as a character on the show. Like, I know a guy like Jimmy. I know a guy like Gretchen. Like, mm-hmm. Or a girl like Gretchen.
Okay. I might know a guy like Gretchen, too.
Yeah, you might.
So, I don't know any guys like Edgar. Maybe, I do. I just remembered I do. Okay.
Wait, which one is Edgar?
His roommate?
PTSD.
Okay.
By the time I caught up in season one, season two had just started. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, you know, perfect transition. And season two is where they're like, okay, well, now that we've set up all these characters, let's dig deeper into their psyches. And they introduce Gretchen having problems with depression. And I was like, oh God, like, at least do this right, because so many other shows and movies like try to do this and it's always so fucking wrong. But they nail it.
Yeah.
They treat it as like something that like it's there and you can't just fix it. Like, you can't just like turn it off or
go get a makeover and you feel better and happy with your life.
Right. Yeah. And Jimmy is trying to understand it, but he doesn't quite get it. He's like, oh, well, I'll just take her to a party. It'll be fine. It's like, no, it's not. It doesn't work like that. Like,
it'll probably actually make it worse.
Yeah. So I was like, wow, like a show that, a comedy show of all things, that treats depression with respect and intelligence.
Right.
And that's why I was like, okay, everybody needs to be watching this, because people who suffer from depression will get something out of it. And people who don't understand depression will hopefully maybe get a better understanding of it, mm-hmm. seeing how it's portrayed on the show.
There have actually been a few episodes, even though I haven't got to season two yet, that where they don't really get into it, that... I definitely feel like it's almost therapeutic to watch the show, because I see other people, like, I see these characters that are going through something, some sort of emotion that I'm familiar with, and it hurts to watch it, but at the same time, it kind of feels better to see something that you can relate to like, something that's kind of maybe a little bit difficult to deal with.
Yeah, it's for me, it's like music, like why I got into like Nirvana and Pearl Jam, because they were singing about the same type of stuff that I was feeling. And I was like, wow, there's somebody else out there who feels these things. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I get out of You're the Worst. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's still a comedy and it's still really funny. It's just in between, they sneak in, you know, these heavy topics, and they don't treat it lightly. They treat it, you know, the way it should be treated.
It kind of reminds me of Louie a little bit in that way. Like,
yes,
very serious, exactly. And it's hilarious at the same time. And it's like, you don't know how to feel about it.
There are definitely a few episodes in season two where it's much more heavy than funny, I thought.
Yeah.
And it might just be because as they're showing Gretchen, the character that goes through the depression, experience these emotions and not really express them. Like, you can see, like, they portrayed her perfectly. There are these scenes when she's crying and there's no specific reason for her tears. There's not one thing that happened, but you can see it in her face and you can see that she has no other means of expressing herself. And I've been there. Mm-hmm. You know? And I think at this point, I know more people who struggle with depression than who haven't. I don't know anybody who wouldn't be able to relate to the scene. And the actress, what's her name? Aya Cash. Is that right, Peter?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's phenomenal. Like, there's a scene, and I don't want to give away the episode, but they're at a neighbor's house. Do you remember it, Peter?
Yeah.
The neighbor's house, and they're walking home. She's walking back with Jimmy, and she just breaks down and you can see it on her face. And I remember like finishing that episode and being like, I can't stop on that one. Like, I got to watch the next mm-hmm. one. Hopefully it'll be funny.
Like, it's funny that you say something about like how you know so many people who suffer from depression or who, you know, would relate to this. I think I know so many people at this point that understand like that side, you know, to understand that sort of emotion, that it's actually more shocking when I talk to somebody who doesn't understand it.
Right, exactly.
I had a friend or, you know, acquaintance recently say something about like, you know, his girlfriend was depressed and he was being very, very demeaning about it. And like, she just needs to straighten her life out and this and that. And I'm like, if she's actually suffering from depression, like you need to back that fucking shit up and like stop treating her like garbage and actually help her get help.
Yeah.
You know? And he, just the way that he was treating her, like, honestly, it was one of the reasons why when I said friend at first, I kind of backtracked and I was like, no, he's just kind of more of a guy I know at this point, because like that kind of, it's one of those things where it builds into the type of person that they are and why I'm like not friends with them anymore.
Yeah.
Daily real talk. Hashtag. I think I said that backwards. Anyways. So
that's your worst. And that's why everyone should watch it.
Yes. Yes.
And speaking of real characters, speaking of characters that are well written and well acted,
Supergirl.
Yeah, perhaps not Supergirl. I wanted to talk a little bit about Jessica Jones.
Yes.
Peter, do you want to go ahead and start this one up too?
Okay. First, I just want to say, like, it's fucking awesome that Marvel's gotten so successful that they're bringing in, like, they're making TV shows and movies out of characters like I never even thought would have gotten their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fact that a Jessica Jones series exists kind of blows my mind, but
I'd honestly never heard of her before the show came out. Like, I'm a horrible nerd, I guess, but I just didn't know anything about this character.
Me neither. I'm not a good nerd either.
What really blew me away was how well they pulled it off.
Had you read the comics?
Yeah, I'm familiar with the character, but I think they elevated the story that they tell in the comics to something that's a lot more real for a superhero show, essentially. But Jessica Jones, she has superpowers. She's really strong. She can sort of fly, but it's kind of shitty at it.
So she calls it controlled falling.
Yeah.
I like that.
So she tried doing the superhero thing for a little bit and wasn't really good at it, so eventually she comes across this man named Kilgrave, and Kilgrave is played by David Tennant.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. He's the main reason I actually want to watch this show.
Yeah.
His superpower is mind control. He can just tell you to do something, and in your mind, you're like, I don't want to do this, but your body will make you do it anyway. So he's like, he comes across Jessica. He's like, oh, well, this is an interesting person. Come with me. And then she ends up unwillingly in a relationship with him, and he basically rapes her literally and metaphorically.
Oh my God.
Without spoiling.
They don't actually show it.
Yeah, they don't show it.
But the implication is he tells you to do whatever he wants to do.
No, but this is definitely a heavy topic. Like,
it is, but they gloss over that part. In the beginning, at least, they gloss over it. And then there's a point when she does get to confront him and she says, you raped me. And he says, no, you did it willingly. And she says, you told me what to do. I had no choice. Like, and he can't see the other side of this coin.
He doesn't see himself as a villain, which is
right.
The most terrifying aspect
he
of him. He's not out to try to take over the world like Loki or some shit. He's just like your crazy ex-boyfriend who just doesn't get it.
He just wants her. He just wants her to be with him.
Yeah.
So he's willing to go to any length where, like, he uses other people. When he can't get to her, he uses the people around her. He tells the people around her what to do his bidding.
So he's like a stalker.
Yes. He is a legitimate stalker. He is a manipulative, emotionally controlling, abusive boyfriend.
So without spoiling anything, she eventually gets away from him and he's presumed dead. So she ends up becoming a private investigator, but she has severe PTSD. Mm-hmm. She's self-medicating with alcohol all the time. Like, she's just generally traumatized by this entire experience with him. And even like the mere mention of his name, like, makes her, you know,
she shakes, like, yeah, she has to sit down.
It's a trigger for her.
Yeah.
So the show picks up with her in her current state, and through a series of events, she finds out that Kilgrave is still alive and he's coming back for her. And that's where the story of the show starts. So I thought it was a very accurate, or at least respectful, story of rape, where, like, it's not used as like a plot device just to be like, oh, well, here's how this guy's a bad guy. Like
Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Like Game of Thrones. Like,
yeah,
it shows like the after effects of it and like how it can fuck you up. And like, when the show starts out, like, Jessica Jones, like, she's not okay. Like what, she's traumatized by her experience with Kilgrave. And as soon as she finds out that he's still alive, her first experience is to just get the fuck out of there.
I kind of wonder if, like, anybody got pissed off at Netflix or something for, you know, putting out this Marvel show and, like, not supervising their kids or something and saying, like, oh, well, hey, little Jimmy, watch this Marvel. You like the comic book stuff, right?
You know, I think the last Netflix Marvel series that was put out was Daredevil, and that was pretty gritty as well. I watched Daredevil with Christian, my son who just turned 13. I watched that with him last year when it first came out. I started to watch Jessica Jones with him, and I realized it wasn't really that great for him. And I said, you know,
The Avengers.
It's not the Avengers. And the first few episodes were a little slow for his taste. And I even said, I think I'll keep watching this one without you. And he was like, okay. Like, he didn't even question it. If he wanted to watch it and wanted me to discuss it with him, I would. But for myself as well, I was in an abusive relationship before. And it was something that I maybe wasn't ready to watch with him because I didn't know how I was going to discuss it with him when stuff came up. And it was a really strange experience for me to watch it and start picking up on things and hearing the way that Kilgrave speaks to Jessica and suddenly remembering conversations I had with an ex and going, oh my God, wait, that really happened to me too. Like, Kilgrave has these versions of what happened while he and Jessica were together that, you know, like I was saying before, I didn't rape you. You wanted to be there. You smiled at me. You did this, you did that. And he can't see any other version of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in her mind, the whole time she's being tortured.
And they also kind of touch on people who stay in abusive relationships
and why they do it. Yeah.
One of the brilliant things the show did was cast David Tennant as Kilgrave, because he's got this natural charisma where, like, you're naturally drawn to him and you like him.
And you want to bang him.
As in my previous episode. So, like, there's some parts where you're like, you catch yourself being like, oh, well, I mean, come on, he made you breakfast, like, give him a chance. And then you're like, oh shit, he's like a murdering rapist. Like,
so they're actually tricking you as the audience into liking this guy, to sympathize.
Yeah, you're almost thinking for a second, like, maybe she should go with him.
Yeah, it's like, look, he's trying hard. Like, come on. But then like, it's, you're like, oh, wait, no, he's like an awful person.
He's psycho. What the fuck?
Yeah.
I have to applaud them on that one. I like that sneaky tactic, because I think it is tough for people to put themselves in the position of, like, you know, it's easy for somebody who's not in that relationship to say, like, oh, you should get the fuck away from them, you know, you leave them or whatever, get out however you need to do. And if, you know, you're perhaps a damaged individual, you know, who has latched onto this person for whatever reason, it's not really that easy. It's not easy to just cheer yourself up if you're depressed. You know,
I think the other side of the coin, and that I was watching it and still, even though I'm many, many years removed from the relationship that I mentioned, I wasn't with anybody who mind controlled me. You know, there's no such thing as scientific experiments that, or if you're looking at the comic book version, you know, genetic mutations that cause somebody to have actual mind control powers, you know. Mm-hmm. But there are reasons, and there are things that, you know, I hope that other women didn't look at it and say, oh, wow, I really was weak because she really didn't have a choice. Yet I did. But I don't think, I don't know. I didn't see anybody say anything like that.
Right.
You know, looking at some of the reviews. But,
what I took away from the show at the end was that Jessica Jones was a very strong female character, and she didn't really have to rely on anybody else but herself. She overcame, or mostly overcame, her own emotional distress to deal with her shit. Whereas when I watch Supergirl, she's got this whole network of dudes helping her.
Yeah, I think you just read my mind, Peter, because I was just thinking, like, you know, this is exactly the opposite of Supergirl, where they have to remind you every 5 minutes that she is a strong female character.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, you're pretty strong for a girl, and... You know, there's a lot of that on Supergirl, and
it's annoying.
It feels like they're trying to be feminist, but it's like a bunch of dudes writing it who like don't understand it properly, and they're not Joss Whedon, like.
Yeah, or I don't understand that show at all, because I mean, it looked really great. I liked the casting that they chose for her. I'm not so crazy about what's her name, Ally McBeal. Whatever, she's fucking out of it.
Krista Flockhart.
Yeah, her. She's not doing it for me in that role. Actually, one of Ben's biggest complaints about it is Jimmy Olsen, who they've changed to James Olsen, I think, who is now, instead of being like this little nerdy dude, now he's like Mr. Cool. Yeah. But
like in the very first episode, she's all like googly eyed over Jimmy Olsen. It's like, really, like,
yeah. And they made a point to tell her that she was pretty when she changed out of her glasses and put on the uniform or the costume or whatever you call it. And, you know.
So basically, okay, I have not seen Supergirl, but basically it sounds like what you're saying is it's if Superman was a girl. Because I thought the Supergirl lore was in conjunction with Superman, but you're clearly.
No, it's she's like his cousin.
She's his cousin, and he's around in the show. Okay. Like, his presence is felt, and like you see him a little bit, but
okay, because, you know, from what I remember of the original Superman that I grew up watching, Jimmy Olsen was a nerd, Clark Kent was a nerd, he was in love with Lois Lane and cared about Superman. So right. Now they've kind of given Supergirl this role where she's in love with Jimmy Olsen the way Clark Kent liked
sort of
Lane.
Well, here's the trick though, is that everybody knows who the fuck Supergirl is. Like, her circle of people already knows, you know, Jimmy Olsen already knows. Her nerdy friend that actually loves her knows who she is. I mean, she's like, as soon as she saves, like, she basically starts her superhero career the same as Superman. Like, she saves a plane from crashing. And as soon as she does this, she immediately goes and blabs to, like, her best friend. And Jimmy Olsen already knew because Superman told him. Like, I think he sent him to this town to come keep an eye on her to make sure she's doing okay. This also annoyed me is that they made a point to teach her how to fight. And I'm like, she's fucking stronger than everyone on Earth, just like Superman.
She's vulnerable.
Yeah, she just, all she has to do is just throw one punch and, like, you know, fight's over. Like, she doesn't need, like, a martial arts, you know.
But apparently she's the Girl of Steel, not the Woman of Steel. And that's the distinction.
Yeah, and at some point she makes this little stand with her boss named Supergirl and says, don't you think it should be Superwoman? You know, and I'm like, just stop. Just fucking stop. And I think after, like, three episodes, I kind of checked out. I was like, I tried to give it a chance, and it's just, it's such a failure. Such a failure.
Yeah, around episode 5, I was like, as far as DC show goes, I'll just stick with The Flash.
Yeah.
Without sidetracking too much, Arrow to me just seems like Batman in a green hood. Like,
that's kind of what he is.
Well, it's, if I wanted to watch, I'd watch Batman then. Like,
but there's no good Batman TV shows. I mean, Gotham, there's Gotham.
Gotham is terrible.
Gotham is good.
No, it's not.
Have you continued to watch it? Because I like Gotham now.
I watched the first three episodes.
The first three episodes and hated it too. And then
they felt the need to introduce every Batman villain.
I know.
In existence.
I agree with that.
Why the fuck?
I know, but if you get over that and you watch it, because the first three episodes, I felt the same way. I was like, this is dumb. Why but
here's
that?
My thing.
Like,
is that
you sure like riddles, Mystery Enigma. Like,
if you can't get me in the first three episodes, then why am I going to keep watching something that I don't enjoy?
But actually, but honestly, it was because that's what I said too. And I stopped watching it. Episode 5, it was great. Skip the first three episodes. You're not missing anything. Just skip the first three. You're not missing anything. And start with like episode 5.
Yeah.
At the end of the first season, it's really good.
Okay, but on my priority list, like, that's way down here. Like, You're the Worst season 2 is up here. Jessica Jones is up here. Like, finishing the Marvel Universe stuff before the Civil War comes out, way up at the top.
Okay.
Gotham is Gotham. Like...
Don't worry about it.
Bottom.
But I'm liking Gotham.
Oh, the other one that always comes on after Flash. Like, I keep hearing that that show is really good. iZombie.
That, I gave up on after a couple episodes just because I'm so fucking tired of zombies at this point.
You know, I am too, but that, it looked like enough of a twist that, and it wasn't like a very stretched concept. You know, it wasn't like, oh God, another like weird zombie show. Okay.
I just think my hatred of The Walking Dead is carried over into everything else zombie related. I'm just like, guys, can we just put that genre to rest for a while? And
yeah, I can see that. The market was definitely way oversaturated for a long time because like everything was fucking zombies for like the longest time. And I think people finally moved on from it, hopefully.
Fucking OkCupid, like, for a while, like, half the girls that were sending me messages, like, their profile pics were them in zombie makeup. And I'm like, why the fuck are zombies, like, attracted to me? Like, this is weird.
We want your brains, Peter.
Like, nowhere in my profile does it says, like, yay, Walking Dead, or yay, zombies, like...
Anyway, we got to break this up. I didn't even get a chance to talk about Steven Universe. It has the most strong female characters on television right now.
God. And I didn't get to talk about the Hannibal Blu-ray on season 3.
All right, we'll be back, everybody.
I got a squatty potty for Christmas. Well, I bought squatty potties for people under the guise of being able to use them for myself.
Right.
I bought one for my son, I bought one for my parents, and I bought one for my coworker.
That's actually brilliant because now you have one wherever you
exactly.
go.
Exactly. Wherever and I go, I have
you a- really bought it for yourself, but right. you gave them to other people, which is just, it's fucking brilliant.
So you ready for my review?
Yeah, I want to know about this thing.
All right. So last week, I'm on my period.
Oh, God. Period shits.
I didn't even know I had to shit. We've talked about this with the accidental pooping. But I was, you know what? I sat down, propped my feet up, got myself comfortable. All of a sudden, I'm pooping. But guess what?
What?
The tampon didn't come out. I pooped. Got every last bit of poop out without straining, and the tampon stayed inside me.
That's a fucking miracle. Yeah. I'm buying one of these immediately. Yeah. Peter, that's what you're getting for your birthday.
That way you can keep your tampon inside while you shit.
Exactly.
Isn't it what you've always wanted, Peter?
What will they think of next? It's got to be a better way.
Wow, so did it actually feel more comfortable?
It did, yeah, because it's like, and that was because I could feel the different muscles.
Mm-hmm.
It separated my anal muscles from my vaginal muscles in the squat. Nice. Yeah.
Did it make the shit go any faster or slower?
Smoother.
Smoother.
Yeah.
I just pictured that fucking unicorn.
Yeah.
The ice cream cone.
That's exactly. It was just coming out smoothly. There was no kink in the rope. There was no.
Wow.
It's going to come out like sausage links. Like.
No. More like a nice, large kielbasa. Not at all, but I had to say it.
I'm actually really happy to know that this thing worked because I heard that the poopery stuff doesn't work, and I don't want to be disappointed by poop products.
I tried the poopery last year, or maybe 2 years ago when it first mm-hmm. came out, and I wasn't wild about the smell of it. It was just kind of like a heavy, like it reminded me of like the old school Glade plugins that just smelled like way too much.
Flowers. Oh, yeah.
That's kind of what it was like. And then I don't know that it really helped mask the smell of the poo once it was in the bowl either.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of had like this heavy wafting, too powerful, nasty oil smell.
Gross. Gross. Yeah. So it was like really floral and they didn't have any other scent that you could choose from.
I don't know. They were expensive, so I only bought one.
Right. And if it doesn't work, why are you going to buy another one?
Exactly. Exactly.
Just stick with Febreze.
Yeah. Febreze is nice. It's great.
Yeah. And it's the squatty potty. Good stuff.
That's right. So two thumbs up my anus for the squatty potty.
Yes. Very nice. All right. I'm going to have to try one of these. I'm going to order one like today.
So you were telling me about something that stays in a vagina too, other than tampons.
Yeah, we just found this this item today that I'm also going to be buying one of these if I can get my hands on one, or my vagina, I guess I should say. It's a sound
system. You could wrap your lips around this one. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a sound system for your vagina. And basically it's a little, like, I guess it's a Bluetooth little speaker that basically you insert like a tampon. And they say that it's for, like, if you're pregnant and the baby can listen to Mozart and be a fucking genius because you shoved a music tampon in. No. I think that's how they're selling it, is to, like, rich people who want to, like, make their baby smarter by listening to music.
Through a tampon.
But, I mean, I'm immediately thinking, I see this thing, I'm going to put on something with like some bass and just crank it, you know, like it's
thug life.
I mean, you could still put on something with some bass. I mean, Wu-Tang is for the children.
I immediately thought of Paul Revere by Beastie Boys. Look at that. Like, I'm going to get off to that if I can. Let's see how this works. You know? I mean, because there's got to be some sort of vibration when it starts, you know, making music in your vag.
They should have something for guys where, like, it cups around your ball sack and plays music for your sperm.
Sperm don't have ears, Peter.
So before they become fetuses. Yeah.
Fetuses don't have ears till, like, the fourth or fifth month, too, right?
Yeah.
Takes a while for dumb eardrums to grow.
Dumb eardrums, though. I just don't understand why we would.
I'm confused on a baby thing.
Now I know what to get at baby showers in the future.
There you go. I mean, actually, I wonder if you couldn't just get one of those and shove it up into your ass and just play music for your ass.
I'd be too shy to buy it in Spencer's, so.
You're going to steal it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just shove it up your ass and walk out with it, you know.
Just don't play any music on my way out.
And, like, it's hooked up to your Bluetooth, so, like, your phone starts ringing, and then and then it's all awkward because your mom just called your butthole.
And I've got an iPhone, so it starts playing that fucking U2 album.
Your butthole's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh,
I'm trying to look at this article again, and there's just not enough information on it for me to gather.
There's a link to the official site.
I'll buy one and do some field research. Now, they did have a concert for fetuses, and they had, like, a bunch of pregnant women, which sounds like way too many hormones in one place. They had a bunch of pregnant women, and then a lady did a concert for babies. And I would think that, you know, they're going to be able to hear it, you know, if the speakers are loud enough. They don't need to have the vagina speaker. They don't need that. That's too much.
Well, I've heard of, like, pregnant women just playing records and stuff, like, for the baby to hear. And, like,
yeah, it goes through your stomach. You don't need to put it up your vag to get the sound in there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The babies hear everything. The baby knows its mother's voice. The baby hears its, you know, the voice of its father, its siblings.
Mm-hmm.
If they're around.
It knows the sound of the mom's vibrator, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Now, I went to the official website just now, and there's this really creepy 3D picture of a fetus right on the front. And, like, its mouth is open kind of awkwardly. And it's
really creepy, but it still looks like its eyes are fused shut. Like, it can't open its eyes yet.
Yeah.
Which is always the freakiest thing.
Recommended by gynecologist. Which one?
The only device that has demonstrated to stimulate vocalization of babies before birth. Is that what the point is? That's weird.
So it's, you want them to, like, come out singing?
Babies learn to speak in response to sound stimuli. That's why it has its mouth open.
Well, I mean, don't babies learn to speak naturally without shoving music in your vagina?
They do. They'll learn eventually. Because they literally cannot make sounds and form words until a certain point anyway.
And they're constantly around people who are all like, ooh, look at the baby, and, like, you know.
Oh, this clearly looks like a sex toy kit.
Okay, so
this is a very clever ruse for pregnant women to have a legitimate excuse to put this on their baby shower register.
Okay.
When they just want to have a better way to masturbate while they're pregnant.
That definitely looks like a sex toy kit.
Yeah.
That's totally what I'm getting for our next baby shower.
Yeah. It makes sense. You know, I mean, it's because it's uncomfortable to have sex while you're pregnant. You know, your belly's big and, mm-hmm. you know, you get to the point where, like, you worry about the baby seeing your, you know, its dad's dick or not its dad's dick. That's even more uncomfortable. So,
Okay, I'm looking at this.
I mean, it's kind of a necessity. You need to masturbate while you're
doing it. At some point, like later on, especially. I don't think that this thing, that this little speaker is big enough to get off any good vibration or anything. And, you know.
If it's in your vag, it will.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to get a 12.
Look, and there's a little remote on it that it could, like, just go buy a magic bullet.
Yeah, exactly. I did think about getting the, I've seen them where, like, it's a vibrator that syncs up with whatever music you're listening to on your iPod, and it goes with the beat of the music. So maybe I'll get one of those instead, because at least that is an honest sex toy. It's not like when you go to, like, the drugstore and they have the massager, the personal massager, and right. It's clearly a vibrator, but they sell it in the, you know, personal health section or whatever, and it's like some lady's like sticking the vibrator on her shoulder, you know, like,
oh, that feels good. I like the ones that show it, like it's rubbing it like right along her neck, like right next to her face, like,
yeah, caressing her cheek. She's like sticking it in her mouth and like deep throating it right there on the box at the Walgreens aisle. Yeah. Actually, I think that was just me the time that...
that one picture you put on the store by mistake.
Yeah. Whoops. Sorry to make it awkward, guys.
Yeah.
I think maybe we all need a break right now. I need a glass of water.
You know what? Maybe we should just cut this whole show off and... we all just go our separate ways and go touch ourselves. We're in some kind of... Well, I think it's me. It's me. I'm taking the blame for this one. I can't put this on you guys. I mean, I could, but, you know, I need your permission first.
Do I need your permission to take both of you into... Never mind.
No, you gotta finish now.
Do I have to finish face down?
I'm sorry. Face down, ass up.
Face down with the pants still on.
Face down, pants up.
I'm the trap. Oh, the inside jokes that the listeners will never get.
I never should have said that.
Nope, it's too late now.
Can we take a break so I can get that mental picture out of my head?
Yes, we're done. We're done. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to this hot mess. Follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at Mouthy Broadcast. Give us a call at 757-541-CUNT and tell us what song you'd like to listen to through your vagina.
Or your asshole. Not your everybody asshole. Has a vagina.
That's true. Maybe both at the same time, put one in each.
What kind of song do you want to strap to your balls and feel the vibrations of?
Good vibrations.
Marky Mark.
Marky Mark or the Beach Boys?
Both.
Both have the better vibrations.
I just immediately went Marky Mark. Feel it, feel it. Good vibrations. Anyways, let's get out of here. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Smack that ass.